Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We hope that you enjoy this message and that it speaks to your heart.
Happy Thanksgiving. Anybody ready for some turkey? I think I ask this every year, but how many of you guys are like pecan pie? You like it. How many of you guys like pumpkin pie? That's what I'm talking about. How many of you guys like that cranberry like pudding or whatever that thing is? Yeah, that marshmallow cranberry stuff, that's really good. What about stuffing? How many of you guys are stuffing people? Yeah, I hear you get like diseases from that. And anyway, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Yeah, it's called obesity. That's what he was saying. Ham. How many guys are not turkey, but you're a ham guy? Yeah, our girl. Well, I just love it all. We get together with our family, our extended family, and everybody, and we come together and have awesome Thanksgiving time. And so I hope you have that as well. We have so much to be thankful for, and I'm just excited about what God's doing in our church and in our lives. And so thank you for being here. And I want to thank some people personally today, some people that give tirelessly to our ministry and to our church. Every week they show up, they do a job that's not always easy, but they do an amazing job at it. So I'm going to ask our staff, David, Rachel, Jamie, my wife is on the staff as well, but she's not in here. But I want to ask these guys to come up. These are the guys that actually get paid to do their job. And many of you guys volunteer your time, and you guys are committed, and we want to say thank you to you guys as well. Let's give everybody a hand that serves on a team. But these guys have a larger responsibility, and they do an amazing job at it. David obviously leads our worship. He leads our band, does an amazing job every week. He comes in with a group of people on his team, and they set up every Saturday or Friday or Saturday. They do an awesome job. This is not easy to set up this room. I know the sound. Sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes, and it just depends on the weather. It depends on how many people's in the room. It depends on all kinds of stuff. And David deals with all that with grace and excellence. And so give it up for David and his old band. And we wanted to give you a gift, and we hope this helps with, you know, all the kids that you have, that you have to buy Christmas presents for and all that stuff. I love you, bro. We'll hug that out. Brother's got a hug every now and then. But if many of you guys, this is Rachel Ramsey. Many of you guys have not met Rachel, and it's not because of we're trying to hide her. But Rachel is our treasurer. She is our office manager. If you've ever called the church line, you usually get Rachel on that line. And she does an amazing job managing our office and being a secretary, administrative assistant, gopher, whatever we ask her to do. She does it. She does an amazing job at that. And she also is our treasurer. So all the money, the handling of the money, the budgets, all that stuff, I mean, taxes, all that stuff that have to be turned in, all that. She does an amazing job at that. She does it behind the scenes. Rachel, I try not to share too much, but she has certain physical ailments like arthritis and stuff to where she can't be at church and sit for hours because the preacher preaches long. And so she's not able to sit around and do that, but she is so faithful behind the scenes, listening to the messages. She puts them online for us. She does all kinds of awesome stuff for us behind the scenes and does an excellent job at that. And I'm proud to know her. I love her, and she does awesome work. So give it up for Rachel. Thank you. And then last but not least is Jamie. Jamie oversees all of our Hattie teams. So each week she gets people organized when people call and say, hey, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it or whatever. She handles all that headache sometimes. But no, it's a joy, right? It's a joy. But she handles all of that with grace and does an amazing job at handling all that. All the events like our dinners and our dances and all that stuff, she oversees all those, pulls all that together, gets all the food together alongside of Carol and our Vittles team. But she does an amazing job at that. I appreciate your friendship and your family, and so thank you very much. Yeah. So yeah, so give them all a hand. Give them one more hand. Thank you, man. So we wanted to just say thank you. You guys can be seated, and we appreciate all that you give to our church, and we're just so blessed to have great staff. And like I say, everybody serves, but these guys give over and beyond the call of duty, and they do an amazing job at it. So I'm just thankful for them. Well, today I want to continue a series that I have called Cowboy Character. Why Godly Character Matters. Why Godly Character Matters. And in a world, and I don't know if you noticed this, but in a world where character doesn't count a whole lot in some areas, anybody notice this? I don't know. Some people maybe, they think, well, I'm going to, it doesn't really matter. My character doesn't, affect my job. My character doesn't affect this or do that. And they sometimes don't make decisions based on the true character that God would have for them to make. But here's the thing. I believe that as the church and as Christians, now is the most important time for us as Christians to practice godly character. Amen? We're to possess it, we're to practice it, because the world is looking for some truth. I mean, I think there are so many people that have bought into the lie of the world that, again, you can live your life however you want and it'll all work out and everything will be cool, but they sacrifice their character, their integrity, their honesty, all that stuff to get ahead. And so we've looked at this, why godly character matters. And we've taught two truths so far, and I want to look at one more today. But the first one was this, and I want to recap real quick, as I always do. And you say, well, how do you define godly character? I mean, if the world's not defining it right, well, how do you define it? Or how, more importantly, does God define it? Well, we looked at it. Number one was this. Godly character is doing what is right as defined by God, no matter the personal cost. Now, I want to say it again because this is an amazing definition, and I didn't make it up. I stole it from another pastor, but godly character is doing what is right as defined by God, no matter the personal cost. I hope that you let that resonate and penetrate your life, because here's the thing. You and I have decisions that we have to make every day. Decisions, some are easy, some are hard, but at the end of the day, we're either going to have to choose what God would want us to do, or we're going to have to choose what we want to do. Does that make sense? You have a choice. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to do what is right as defined by God. Again, the world isn't going to define the right definition or give us the right definition. You and I can't come up with the right definition. Only God can do that. And he has done it. And you say, well, how do I know how God defines certain things? Well, you open up his Bible, and his Bible is what helps you define how you're supposed to live your life. And so we are called to, we're called to do what is right as defined by God, no matter the personal cost. Again, when you begin to do this, you begin to live a godly life, not a worldly life, or not to please people, but to please God, it may cost you something. Amen? I mean, anybody been there? I mean, if you choose to do the right thing, it may cost you your reputation at work. If you choose to do the right thing, it may cost you your pride. If you choose to do the right thing, it may cost you your friendships or relationships with certain people. But at the end of the day, we are called to practice godly character no matter the personal cost. And so here's the second thing. Character success always supersedes circumstance success. Now, some of you guys maybe not, weren't here last week, but I encourage you to go listen to that video, because this is an amazing statement. Character success always supersedes circumstance success. Here's the fact. In life, in business, in dating, in marriage, we should always choose character success over our circumstantial success. And you say, well, why? Well, it's just better. You say, well, why is it better? Well, when we put our character success first, we always have the advantage over our circumstances. But it's just the truth. When you put your character success ahead of your circumstance success, you'll win. You will win. You have the advantage. In other words, the Bible, and we talked about this, the Bible says you will reap what you sow, right? And so if you sow to please God, if you sow to live according to his will, then you are going to have an advantage over your circumstances. But if you say, I'm going to live for myself, I'm going to live for the world, I'm going to live for the devil, then you're sacrificing, and in many cases, your character over your circumstance. I'm just telling you, if you will put your godly character first, you will always reap the benefits of that. But if you choose to do the other way, if you put your circumstances and you say, hey, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, I'm going to do what benefits me the most. I'm telling you, it may not lead to this now, but at some point it's going to lead to your destruction. It just will. So again, you always have the advantage over your circumstances when you put your character success first. Here's what I've learned. A lot of people, including myself, we do. So many people, they want their circumstances to change, but they're not willing to change their character. The truth is this: until you and I change our character and lead with our character, our circumstances will always get the best of us. They always will. And so here's the last thing that we learned last week is this: character, good or bad, always leaves a legacy. It always leaves a legacy. One of these days, my kids, and they already have, they're going to ask me questions like, Daddy, did you cheat in school? Yeah. Daddy, did you treat your enemy well? Daddy, did you and Mom, did you guys remain pure before you got married? Daddy, did you and Mom live together before you got married? And they're going to ask those questions. And my character and my response to those questions is either going to influence them for the good or for the bad. Some of you teenagers, you need to hear this because it's a truth. What you're doing in your life right now is going to affect you further down the road. And for you to look at, oh, this is just high school, I'm just going to live however I want to live, it will affect you and it will affect your family later on. I promise. I promise. For the good and for the bad. You know, one of the reasons... obviously I was raised in a Christian home and I had a great youth minister that led me to make great decisions, and I didn't always make them, but one of the reasons why I made some of the decisions that I did early on in life is because I knew that one day my daughter was going to ask me, Daddy, did you wait? Daddy, did you do this? Daddy, did you do that? And it kept me, that haunting feeling of, am I going to leave my kids closer to God or am I going to leave them further from God? And some of you guys are young and you haven't experienced life, all the things that the world's trying to offer you. Can I just tell you, when you choose character over your circumstance, you're going to win. You're going to win in the future. Yeah. And you say, okay, Bo, I've lived for myself. I've lived for circumstantial success over my character. Can I still be successful? And the answer is absolutely. Here's why: because we've all failed. And that's the grace of God, that he covers our failures. He covers the decisions that we made that were wrong, and he gives us forgiveness and hope if we will turn to him and say, okay, God, I've lived for myself. Now I'm turning and I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to put godly character ahead of my convenience. I'm going to do it because I love you, that he says, I'll forgive you and I'll use you and you can be successful because of my grace. That's what he says. Amen. And so absolutely, you can be forgiven and you can succeed in your relationships, in your life, whatever it is, if you will turn from your sin, turn from yourself, turn from your flesh, and turn to God. You can do it. Well, today I want to look at another truth that if we can understand this and we can embrace it, it'll lead to a successful life. And it'll lead to pleasing God. And this is number three, okay? Number three is this: godly character is born out of adversity. Again, I made you even more quiet on that one. But it's the truth. I want you to hear this, and this isn't always fun to preach, but godly character is born out of adversity. One of the things that I love about raising our kids to ride horses and to work cattle and all that stuff is that it builds their character. I'll give you an example of this. Tuesday, we got a new horse, and we were trying this horse out. His name's Blackjack, because he's black. I have three black horses, so no one could ever accuse me of being racist. I'm just saying. But we were trying this new horse out, so I saddled the new horse, and we were riding it around. I was riding around first to make sure that it wasn't gonna you know, kill my kids or whatever. And then I saddled up Nacho, which is our kid horse. And we've had him for a while. He's an amazing horse. We even took family pictures with this horse. That's how cool he is. But this horse loves to challenge these little kids, my kids, right? I mean, he kind of knows that he can get away with some stupid stuff. And so I put Hampton, my six-year-old, on this horse, okay? And I didn't know he was going to do anything. And he was feeling pretty good, the horse was. And so Hampton gets on this horse, and the horse, you know, kind of takes a few steps, and then he kind of crow hops, right? I don't know if you know what that is, but he kind of kicks out and, you know, does one of these little, you know, kind of, you know, moves. And Hampton, you know, he's six, so he kind of gets pushed over the saddle horn, and it jabs him in his stomach, and he's like crying. He's like, oh, this horse is bucking. And I'm like, no, not really, but it's okay, buddy, it's okay, you're okay, you're okay. And I was like, oh, you just, you know, and he was crying and stuff, and I was like, you're okay. And I said, just get off for a second. And I asked Madeline, I said, Madeline, you get on. And Madeline, or I called for Madeline, I said, Madeline, come here, I want you to get on this horse, and I want you to warm this horse up. Well, she didn't know that the horse had kicked out, so I told her, I said, this horse is going to try you before she got on. Said, he's going to try you, so just be ready. He's not going to buck, but he's going to maybe kick out or crow hop or do something stupid to see what you're going to do. And I said, so just be ready. Well, that's exactly what he did. And he didn't buck, but he kicked up and kicked out, and she fell off and hit the ground and she didn't start crying at first. She just kind of looked at me and like, she went, you knew. You know? She just looked at me like, what kind of father are you? But I told her, I said, I warned you, but here's the thing, you're okay. This horse isn't going to hurt you. This horse is just trying to test you, right? And I said, you step off for a second. She was already off. She was on the ground. I said, you get out of the way for a second. And I got on the horse, and I wore that horse out. I tuned on that horse for a little while until that horse couldn't breathe and wanted to just fall over. And I got off that horse, and I told Hampton, I said, Hampton, come here. I said, hey, buddy, this horse isn't going to do that again. I don't want you to get back on. And Hampton, he has a short-term memory, but he was like, okay, you know. And so he got back on, and he rode that horse around. That horse did nothing. I mean, it's a good horse, like back to normal, all that. And then I said, Madeline, I want you to get back on the horse. And she goes, Dad, are you sure? I mean, because this horse, you know, she didn't see. She was crying, so she went away for a little while, and I called back. I said, you come over here, and I said, I want you to get back on the horse. And she got back on that horse. She loped him around, and she fell back in love with Nacho. Now here's the thing. You say, well, what's the point of all that? Well, it's the difficult experiences that develop my kid's character. Are you following this? I mean, they got bucked off, but listen, they had to get back on. They didn't get a chance to quit. A character that was built in them, you know, through this experience was they had to have a little grit. They had to get over the fear. They had to, you know, not give up. And so you say, well, what's the point? Well, that's exactly what adversity can do in our lives if we will approach adversity in the way that God wants us to approach it. Because here's the truth. Godly character in many cases, in many more cases than, you know, the easy road, it causes us to be able to overcome and build our character because of adversity. That's what adversity does. Listen to what the Bible says about adversity. In Romans chapter 5, it says this. We can what? Let's say it together. We can rejoice too that when we run into what? Problems and trials. For we know that they will help us develop endurance. And endurance, strength of or develop strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And look at verse 5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Again, we look at our adversity and we go, yeah, this is going to lead to something terrible. And again, if we have the right attitude, if we approach it in the right way, it will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God what? He loves us, just like I love my children, but I put them back on that horse. God loves us, and he has shown that because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So you say, well, what is that saying? Well, the Bible says that we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Rejoice. Now, I don't know if you do that or not, but it's kind of like an oxymoron. right? I mean, you look at it and you go, okay, adversity's coming, woohoo! You know, trials, temptation, woohoo! You know, and it's not that the Bible's saying, hey, rejoice because of you, you know, you're having to go through pain. Rejoice because you're, you know, facing hard times and it's a blast, right? It's not what it's saying. It's saying rejoice because the adversity that you're facing is going to produce some great things in your life. It's what it produces that you're going to be able to rejoice over in the end. You know, what I've learned and what I keep learning is this, and I've said this already, but it's your attitude and your response to adversity that is going to help grow your character. It's your attitude and your response to it. And so I'll give you a few key points that God is teaching me, and I think they'll be helpful for to you as well. The first is this: problems and trials are character building opportunities. Opportunities. Look at Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the what? The good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God says, hey, that hard teacher that you have in class, the person, the teacher that you hate the most because they make you work hard, that's what's going to produce the best out of you. Teachers, give me the, yeah. All the teachers in the house are like, yes, 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 preach it, Bo, preach it. Here's another truth. It's the hard horses that I've had to train that taught me the most. It's the hard jobs that I've had that have taught me the most. It's the hardest decisions that I've had to make that have taught me the most. But my attitude is what really helps me learn. If I approach it and say, man, oh, you know, I don't want this or whatever, then I don't learn what God wants me to learn. But it's the hard things in life, the adversity in life, that provide us opportunities to build our endurance and to build our godly character, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. And God says, hey, I'm going to work out all those things for your good and my glory. Just stick with me. Just stay with me. And you say, well, how do you know this, Bo? Well, I've known this, you know, all my life because I've faced all these things and I've not been, you know, I'm not responding in the right way, not had the right attitude and all these things. But God has taught me this recently through the building of our barn, okay, our new church barn. I'm not a project manager. I'm not a construction guy. I'm a pastor. You know, a lot of people, when they show up on the job, they're like, so we need to put these air conditioning curbs up on the roof. And, you know, it's got to be measured out like this. And I'm like, I'm a pastor. I don't know what the crap you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? And I deal with, you know, and we have a team that deals with it, and I'm learning to give it all up and give it away to the team. But dealing with contractors, you know, it's hard. Dealing with, you know, trying to build a facility, it's hard. You know, dealing with theft. I mean, we had a bunch of our stuff stolen a few months ago and all that stuff. Dealing with insurance companies, dealing with, you know, the money that goes along with purchasing all this stuff and trying to make the right decisions and handling budgets. And so here's the thing. I have so many people, and they come to me and they go, Bo, you're building a great building out there. It's really nice. You know what my reply is that I try to give sometimes? You know what? That building, I'm not building that building. That building is building me. It is. Because of all the stuff that I'm having to face, I have to rely on God even more. Because of all the stuff that I'm having to face, I'm forced to get closer to God because I can't handle it. Are you with me? I mean, I'm forced to grow spiritually because of the problems and the difficulties and the lack of funds and all the, you know, the tractors, you know, drinking beer all over the place and, you know, peeing in the wind. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just all the stuff that you show up and you go, what are you doing? You know, I mean, and so I just say peeing in the wind because we put cameras up now. And so all the contractors are like, I can't pee outside anymore. I'm like, no, we'll have that on video. That was too much information, I think. But I'm just saying those are the things that I deal with. And so, for you know, again, a lot of people are like, man, you're building an awesome building. Well, I've always, and I'm learning that building is building me because of all the struggles and all the stuff that we're going through. And so number one, problems and difficulties are conflict building opportunities. Here's number two. And this is an important truth that I think if you will Learn this, it will change your life. And it's number two, it's this. Overcoming adversity is really what builds character. Because here's, and you say, well, what do you mean, overcoming? Well, here's what I think we do sometimes. When we face adversity, the first thing that we do is we go to God and we say, hey, God, would you just take away this adversity? I mean, I don't want to go through this. Just take it away. Just take it away. Just take it away. Get it out of my life. I don't want to have to go through all of this stuff. And we pray it out of our lives. We say, I don't want to face that. And that's our natural response. And we do it all the time, right? But here's what I've learned. It's not the absence of adversity that builds our character. It's the overcoming of it that builds our character. Are you with me? I mean, some of the strongest people that I've ever met in my life have overcome great adversity. It may have made them unhealthy physically, like a cancer in their life or, you know, disease or whatever. But at the end of the day, you look at those people and they're stronger than the average, you know, average person. Because that's what character does. But they've had to learn to overcome it. So again, my character, you know, has the opportunity to grow when I face uncertainty. When I face fear, when I face failure, when I face overwhelming experiences, but I don't wish them away, but I make my prayer, God, this is hard. God, this is stressful. God, I'm tired. God, I'm weary, but please don't take this away until I've learned to overcome it. When we face our problems and our adversity that way, we win every time. I'm just telling you, and you say, well, I don't want to go through that. Well, I don't either. But if we're going to grow in our character and we're going to be able to overcome the next thing that we face, then we need to learn to overcome this thing that we're facing now. Does this make sense? And so I can hear people say, you know, people are saying, well, Bo, don't you know that God will never give you more than you can handle? And I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. That is a lie. It's a lie. And some of you guys are like, no, my dad taught me that, or my mom taught me that, or I've heard that all my life. Well, it's a lie. And a lot of people misquote a scripture in the Bible that pertains to, you know, maybe some of this, but it doesn't pertain to us handling more than we can, you know, handle or whatever. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And so I want to show it to you. It says, no, what? Temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be what? Tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And so the promise is that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You seeing the difference? I mean, some people are like, man, he's not going to give me more than I can bear. No, here's the truth. God oftentimes gives you more than you can handle so that you will learn to rely on him and he can build your character. What he promises, though, is that you will not be tempted more than you can bear. In other words, when a temptation comes, guess what, teenagers? He's always going to provide a way out. Guess what, adults? He's always going to provide a way out. But the truth is this. He's going to give you more than you can handle all the time, or a lot of times, a lot of times. And you say, well, why does he do that? Well, James 1:2-4, listen to what it says. It says, dear brothers and sisters, and what's that word underlined? When troubles. It doesn't say, hey, dear brothers and sisters, if troubles come. It says when. So when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Again, you hear this, rejoice because of adversity. It's great joy as you're facing these troubles. Well, it's just true if you face it the right way. For you know that when your faith is tested, you're what? Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So you see what the verse is saying? If you'll let it grow, if you'll accept and embrace the adversity that God allows to be put in your life, God doesn't tempt us, don't get me wrong, he doesn't. But he allows temptations and everything to come into our life so that he can grow our character. And if you will learn to embrace that, you will find more power, more strength, more trust, and more character. More character. Here's the thing. I've been learning this even more, and I'm going to share something personal that is hard for me to share, but I feel like God has told me to do it. I'm learning a lot of this adversity stuff firsthand, and not just in the building of the building, even though it's hard. I'm obviously a husband, so I have a wife that has needs, and I'm called to be her husband. I have children, 3 children, 6, 8, and 10, and they have needs, and they are busy, and they go to all kinds of basketball. I mean, we had 2 games on Saturday, and they show goats, and, they ride horses, and they want to do all this stuff, and, all that pressure, and then I get to pastor our amazing church and get to meet with people and a lot of times I don't think that anybody will ever understand what I do until you've walked in my shoes. And a lot of people say, well, you only work one day a week. That's not very funny, but it's not true. Cause a lot of times it's when those crises happen that I'm the one who has to go and all that stuff. And reaching people, reaching unchurched people, preaching every week. I mean, it's like writing a term paper every week. And I know how much I hated term papers. Sorry, teachers. But, that's what it is, leading staff, going to funerals or weddings or whatever it is, and so I'm just telling you, at this point in my life, I've been experiencing the hardest time and the hardest season of my life. And a lot of it has to do with the building and building the barns and all that stuff, but it's been the hardest season of my life, and it's taken a toll on my health. And I share this because I have a point, but here's what I'm learning. I can't do it all. And some of you guys are like, we know that. But when you're hard-headed and you kind of like work, it's hard to stop working. It's hard to stop and let somebody else do the job. And what that's caused in my life is it's caused stress. And it's caused, just other stuff. And it's taken a toll on my attitude and in my relationship with my wife and my family and in my body as well. And so I know that I've been, out of the pulpit, for a few weeks more than I normally am. I know that I've taken some extra time off, and I can just tell you that I've had no choice. The other day, or for the last few months, I've been enduring chest pain. I felt like something was standing on my chest, and I began to stutter, and I began to, my mind is just jumbled around, and I woke up one morning a month or so ago, and I had this sharp pain in my chest, and I thought I was having a heart attack, and so I drove myself to the heart hospital into the emergency room at 2 a.m, and they ran all the EKGs and all the blood work and did all that stuff and told me that, praise God, it wasn't my heart. And so I did a follow-up with the doctor after that, and I told her everything that was going on and, all the stuff that I deal with on a daily basis. And she said, you're stressed. It's stress. And she said, you need to let go. You need to stop doing so much. And I'm like, how the heck do I do that? And so Here's the point. My goal is to be a pastor of this church for a very long time. And so here's the truth. I have to, at some point, put my health as a priority over the church. Some people understand that, some people don't, but I have to put my health and my family ahead of this job. Even though I love this church and I love this job, if I want to ride this ride for a very long time, if I want to last, if I want to make a difference, and if I want to enjoy the calling that God has placed on my life, then I have to rest. And so my character has grown because I often feel like, man, I got to oversee all this. I got to be a part of everything. I got to be there every Sunday. I got to preach every Sunday. And I've learned that it's not even about me. It's about the church and it's about God. And God can do all this without me. And he has. And I thank God for that. And I'm learning that, like 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul's talking and he says, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am what? Weak, then I am strong. And so I'm learning that it's okay to be weak every now and then so that God can be strong in my life. But here's what I'm also learning. I'm also learning that I need to still continue to give it all I got. I mean, I can use whatever I'm going through as an excuse and say, I'm just giving up. And again, God hadn't told me to do any of that, but I know that God has called me to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm trying to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm promising you that I'm going to do that. But I'm going to put my family first. I'm going to put my health first, and so that I can serve you longer. Yeah. Some of you guys are going to face the same thing that I'm facing. I'm going to face it again. But here's the truth. I can either run from it and say, okay, God, I hate this, which I do. I can say, I don't want this. I don't need this. I don't know how to handle this, which I don't know how. But that's why I have to rely on him. And so, again, the last thing that I'll say is temptation gives us the opportunity to build character. When people question your character, when you have a decision to make at work and you either choose to be, you know, live in integrity or make a dishonest decision, when someone, you know, or you're tempted to say something bad about someone, again, temptation is not sin. But what you do and the choice you make in that temptation is what causes the sin. And if you will choose to do what's right by God, then he will grow your godly character out of the temptation. Out of it, yeah. And so, remember the words of James, chapter 1, verse 12, and I'm done. God blesses those who what? Patiently endure testing and temptation. Because afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And so you have a choice, and I have a choice. When we face adversity, when we face temptation, when we face things that we don't understand, we can either choose to embrace that and trust God and practice godly character, or we can choose to displease him and satisfy ourselves. That's what God has challenged us with, and he's given us the power to overcome it. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to remember this, that no one is perfect at this. I'm not perfect. I've not always made the best decisions. I've not always chosen my character over my circumstances. But I'm just telling you, when we do what is right, as defined by God, no matter the personal cost, we win. You know why? Because we're pleasing God. Again, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter if we're pleasing man. It matters that we please God. And so my question to you today is, how's your character? Are you making decisions that, you know, benefit you and you alone? Or are you making decisions that honor God? Many of you are here today and you're facing adversity and you don't, until today, maybe you don't know how to, you know, you don't know how to handle it. My prayer is today that you would look at your adversity as an opportunity for God to build your character, and that you will say, okay, God, when that temptation comes, when that person comes or that whatever comes, help me to overcome it. Don't take it away until I've learned to overcome it. Maybe your prayer today needs to be, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for putting my circumstances and my convenience and myself over you. And today I commit to put my character first and to put the definitions that you've written down in your word and the Holy Spirit that guides me, I'm going to put those definitions ahead of mine. And so however you've defined for me to do life, I'm going to live by your word. I'm going to live by your Holy Spirit that guides me, that shows me what it looks like. And I'm going to choose to please you over this world. Maybe that needs to be your prayer. I hope that it is. Because the world is looking for good, godly character. Someone that's the real deal. Someone that's going to do what's right no matter what. And I want to be that person. And I want you to be that person. And most importantly, God wants you to be that person. And so I hope that you'll make that commitment today. Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you for the opportunity to face adversity. I thank you for the challenges that you've put in our lives, Lord. And I thank you for the challenges that you put in my life. And Lord, I thank you that you are building my character. And Lord, I know there's people in here that are facing adversity as well. And you're trying to build their character, but they're running from it. They're wishing it away. They're praying it away when they need to embrace it and say, okay, God, whatever it is you're trying to teach me, I'm here. I want to learn. I'm changing my attitude. I'm changing my response. Show me what it is so that I can overcome this situation. Lord, I pray that everybody in this room would take on that challenge and find strength and reward and be able to rejoice and have joy in knowing what it's going to produce in their lives. Lord, thank you for showing that to us firsthand. When you went to the cross and you said, Lord, if it's your will for this to be taken from me, I would ask that you would take it from me. But at the end, you said, not my will, but thine be done. So, Lord, we thank you for your example and how you went through hell so that we could experience heaven. So we thank you for that. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this message. If you have made a commitment today or have questions, you can contact us at info@thousandhillsranch.church or 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.